on being independently wealthy. Being independently wealthy from point zero. That's where you don't have anything. Now, nobody is down to don't have anything. Oh, perhaps some people feel that they are. But they can always go out and get the Salvation Army to help them. Go out and get the church to help them. Go out and get their parents to help them, perhaps family. When a person gets to the point where there's no one to help them, then they're really rock bottom. This might be the case where you're in a famine area. You're in an area where there is a great deal of loss of everything. And there's not enough food. There's not enough of anything for anybody. Even if you can buy it, it's not there. Of course, that's never the case. But when you're down to the bottom, you're at rock bottom, then you say to yourself, I'm at rock bottom, and I haven't got a penny. And many people say that long before they reach rock bottom. They say, I'm poor. I don't have anything. I don't have anything at all. And they say, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe it's just easier to die and not to have to worry about income and money. Or maybe I should just get myself a job. A job that'll help to pay for living, for existing. Maybe I should go out and create myself some sort of employment, some sort of maybe work myself. But there again, you have to have something with which to work. And if you don't have the equipment, if you don't have the tools, then of course you got another problem. Now you see, we can consider all those possibilities. And all those possibilities are just as real as can be. And then we can go to another point. And this is the point of mind. Our mind has the ability to create anything we'd like to have. Our mind has the ability to create poverty or richness. Our mind has the ability to create wholeness or sickness, and on. So what is it we have to determine that we want our mind to create? Whatever it is we want our mind to create, that is where we have to put our attention 100%. Whatever it is we want our mind to create, that is where our thought must be totally. And you say, which is a nice thing to say, I guess, I want to be wealthy. I want to have money to do what I want to do, and I don't need to have so much so that, you know, I'm a Bill Gates or something like that, but I just enough to do all the things I want to do and do them comfortably. Well, now, why do we throw that? You don't want to be Bill Gates. You don't want to be a multi-billionaire. You don't want to be a Warren Buffett. Or you don't want to be all these other successful entrepreneurs, businessmen who are up in the billions. Well, you see, I cannot conceive that for me. And it's very true. You cannot conceive it for yourself. If Bill Gates tried to conceive of himself as a billionaire, it wouldn't work. He conceives of himself as a happy, productive person, running his business and doing the things that delight him, and he gives his all to it. And his all brings back great returns. It wasn't always so. It was in the beginning when he ate just hamburgers or he ate whatever was available. And there were times that he didn't even eat. But he produced his product. He stayed with what he loved. And he became exceedingly wealthy. Warren Buffett, too, may have had that. I don't know his history. But he may, too, have had times when he was at the bottom. But that's not the point we're interested in. We're interested in what brought them to the top. What brought any person to the top in any field is where they give 100% of their attention to whatever is their goal. If your goal is raising children, and you want to have the best children in the world, you give them your total attention, and perhaps you even go and learn how to be a parent. You go and learn how to be the type of parent that would encourage, motivate, and direct their children to their highest and best potential. Now, maybe they used to have a school that directs us to our greatest and highest potential, that directs us to be independently wealthy. Wouldn't that be exciting to go to a school like that? You laugh.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You laugh.
Would you attend? Some people would attend, but they think that someone else is going to give it to them. They think the money is going to come from an individual. They think money is going to come from a given source. And they don't stop to think it's going to come from their thought. You see, a school cannot teach you how to manufacture money. That's against the law. The school can teach you how to manufacture an attitude of your mind that opens you up to all the resources, all the abundance of the universe. And this is where we are when we are thinking that we would like to live in a world with abundance that we could enjoy without any limitation. Well, we first have to decide what we're willing to pay for that. Uh-huh. You gotta take the course, you know, you gotta pay the tuition, you gotta pay the fee for it, and you gotta attend, and then you have to apply. Every day you're taking the course, you have to apply what you're learning, and put it forth in your life, and put it forth in your experience. And when you take the course, and the course can be kind of difficult, because the course is training you to do something that you have not been doing. The course is training you to use capacities of your mind, body, and spirit that you have not been using. Now, do you think our great magicians like David Copperfield just automatically was gifted as a great magician? He had to learn the first tricks. And as he learned the first tricks, then the other tricks became easier and easier. But he dedicated his entire life to being a magician, and he is the greatest. He is able to do his legerdemain in such a fabulous way that you really think it's real. He is able to bamboozle your mind into believing things are not so that are so, and to believe things are so that are not so. What amazing man. But he went to school. He studied diligently. He studied under the finest magicians he could find. He studied under the finest men, women, and children who were competent in doing marvelous things. And as he studied under them, he didn't just stop there. He said, now, can I improve on what I have learned? Can I learn it well and apply it well and then improve it, make it better? Can I make the disappearing cards, the disappearing coin, can I make the nut game all more secretive, more wonderful and more magical? And that's what he's done. And he's perhaps the highest paid magician in the world today. I'm sure he is. And I'm sure that there are many people who want to be his students. And he allows people to be his students, but only if they will dedicate themselves 24 hours a day to being a magician. But you say, no one can dedicate 24 hours a day to anything. That's true. No normal human being who wants to be a normal human being can do that. But if you're every moment thought is about being a master magician, if your every moment thought is about learning the different games, learning the different ruses that are used by the magician, it's an every single moment thing. You cannot for 1 minute doubt yourself. You cannot for 1 minute believe that it is something that's difficult to learn, because then you make it difficult to learn. For you want to become independently wealthy. So, who's going to teach you how to be independently wealthy? Is it going to be a person who is independently wealthy? Or is it going to be a person who knows the rules, who knows the techniques? You see, Bill Gates did not intend to be independently wealthy. He intended to do what game he likes to play best and do it well. And he liked to do it very well, and he did it perfectly. And he did a wonderful job, and that was where his 100% application was. His 100% attention was in playing that game. And that's what it's all about. For if we don't give 100% of our attention to whatever game we're going to play, then we have a problem. Now, are you serious enough about whatever your game is that you'd like to play? Are you serious enough about whatever it is that you would like to accomplish for yourself so that you give 100% of your attention to it? Well, if you are, and if you do, then you have every opportunity You have every right to expect that whatever game you play, you'll be the greatest. Tennis, golf, basketball, baseball, being an accountant, being a parent, being a lover, being a human being. Give your total attention to it. Be master of your every thought. Be master of your every thought in the area that you are interested in being. Now, what are some of the ways that you can be master of your every thought in being independently wealthy? Well, the obvious and the first and the most important step, and this is not really a step, but it's a result of a step, you have to stop thinking that you don't have any money. You have to stop thinking you're poor. You have to stop thinking you want to be an independently wealthy person. You have to stop thinking that. You have to start thinking, I am rich. I am independently wealthy. I am just oozing with wonderful abundance in everything I do. I ooze with abundance in my joy, my happiness. I ooze with joy in my ability to have and receive and own and enjoy things beyond my imagination. Everything you do wants to be the expression of opulent abundance. Every thought you think wants to be an expression of opulent abundance. It's not a matter that you want it. It's a matter that you are it. And when you can say, I am abundant, when you can say, I am independently wealthy, and you can believe it in your heart, you are independently wealthy. You are independently wealthy. You are independently wealthy. I say I am independently wealthy, and I experience that independent wealth. Now, can anyone else enjoy my independent wealth? No, only me. Only me. I enjoy my independent wealth because everywhere I go, I am flooded with the happiness and peace and harmony of every person who comes into my world. I am flooded with people giving me things and taking me places and buying me things, and I too buy things for them because I have this choice. I am independently wealthy. I enjoy whatever I have, but whatever I have is beautiful and good and wonderful. I am independently wealthy with a wonderful body. Every organ action function of my body is perfect. I'm independently wealthy with my wonderful eyes, with my wonderful ears, with my wonderful voice. I'm independently wealthy with my wonderful attitude. I'm independently wealthy with my wonderful thoughts. Every thought I think is a positive, dynamic, wonderful thought that builds in my consciousness the realization of who and what I am. It confirms who and what I am. I'm independently wealthy. My every thought reveals that and shows that forth. Everything I do is an expression of that independent wealth. I give opulently and abundantly. I receive opulently and abundantly. I am independently wealthy. Now, I cannot be independently wealthy for someone else. I can only be independently wealthy for myself. And if I belong to an organization, then I attempt to work with that organization to be independently wealthy. But if the organization and the people do not choose to be 100% aware that they are independently wealthy, I will be independently wealthy and they will not. I will always be independently wealthy because my every thought is upon the realization that I am. I am independently wealthy. I am all these things that I choose to be. And so my every thought reveals that. My every thought brings that forth into my world, into my life, into my affairs. That's a wonderful thing. Now, some of my associates, some friends, some family, they may think poverty. They may think limitation. They may think unhappiness. And I tell them, think happiness. Oh, you and your Pollyanna attitude. I said, think abundance. You're living in an unreal world, and on they go with all these wonderful things. So I don't tell them anything. about my wealth. I don't tell any of them about my happy times. I don't tell any of them about why I am who I am. I just am who I am. Because I don't need anybody in my world, and not really in my world, but I don't need anyone in my expression of life to tell me that I am not what I am. I don't need anyone to tell me that I am poor or sad or sick or whatever. Now, I may put forth the illustration that that may be the case, and I may do that as a teaching tool to say, well, let's put a proper cause in motion. How do you want to see me? Do you see me abundant, whole, fantastic in every way? Then, if you do, respect that. Respect that in me, in you, in all. And as you respect that, then that is what I am, that is what you are, that is what we are, and that is the only thing that's important in our world. However, if others are going to look at me, now you realize I am fully aware that everyone is a reflection of myself. But you see, I look at everyone as whole and perfect. I look at everyone as abundant. I look at everyone as fulfilled. I look at everyone as complete and wonderful. I look at everyone as having everything, every joy, every choice that they might have for themselves in their life. I look at that. And when I look at that, then that's all I can see. That's all I can know. And when that's all I can know, that's all I can experience about them. And sure, outwardly, my associates, friends, family, whoever, may be experiencing whatever, and they may be shining that forth, and then they say, Herb, help me. And I say, I can only see you whole and perfect. I look at you, and I do not see any outward demonstration of limitation, because I see you complete and whole and fulfilled. Should I look at you and see you needing help, then I would be needing help. Should I look at you and see you needing abundance, then I would be needing abundance. So, I don't go around telling people I'm abundant. I don't go around telling people I'm whole and perfect. I may do this as a teaching program, but I don't go around doing that. When I go in town and talk to people, I don't tell them, hey, I'm whole and perfect, I'm wealthy, I'm this, I'm that. They look at me and they say, you've got a charisma about you that just doesn't stop. And I say, thank you. It's just a reflection of yours. You are a fantastic person. That's why you're in my world. Even as a temporary moment, as a clerk, or as a person who I meet on the street, or a person in the coffee shop, or a person, wherever it may be, however temporary the meeting may be, they are a reflection of who I am. Now, they may have their off moments of the 24 hours when they are not believing in themselves, when they're not believing in who they are and what they are. And when they do that, what are they doing? They're only saying, I am not applying the law on my behalf. I'm not applying the law, the rules on my behalf, and I don't really care on my behalf. It's just terrible. The whole world is going to hell in a basket, and everybody else is bad, and I'm good, but I'm sure experiencing all this bad stuff, and why am I experiencing all this bad stuff? See, I don't see that. I don't hear that. As a person, now as a teacher, I may speak out to my group, my organization, and I may say, just a minute. When you speak those kind of words, you're putting that kind of stuff in your mind. Now stop it. If that's what you want, then please leave us. If that's not what you want, if what you want to do is to see yourself abundant, whole and perfect, joyous, free now all the time, then this is the place to be. But if not, then this is not the place for you to be, because everybody here is a fulfilled master. Everybody here is abundant. Everybody here is a joyous, wonderful, magnificent person. They never have a negative thought in their mind. They don't even know how to spell negative, much less how to experience it. Because 24 hours a day, each one who is walking their master path, each one who is demonstrating the truth about themselves, the truth that they are the fulfillment of whatever desire, not desire, but they're the truth and fulfillment of whatever thought is in their mind. So whatever thought you have in your mind, whatever thought you have in your consciousness about yourself, good, bad, or indifferent, that's who you are. And now, you may be a generally speaking, nice person, but you could be a poor person, because in that area of your life, you are not claiming the truth. You may be a super metaphysician in every possible way, but you're not demonstrating that in the area of health. You may be the most wonderful teacher, leader, person to work with, and your own family is a shambles because you are not practicing it. It's a matter of 24-hour practicing. I told a recent friend who was studying, and I said, I want you to experience the wholeness that you are. So I command you to give 28 hours a day to saying these facts and these principles and these truths about yourself. And he said, sure, I will. And so every time I tested him, and I tested him a lot, and I do test him yet, every time I test him, he comes up with the right answer. Now, this may be forced. This may be not his real conviction. This may be not what he yet is demonstrating in every way. But for me, it's his reality. For me, as he continues to speak these positive words about himself, the truth about himself, even when I challenge him, then that is his reality. That is who he is. That is who and what he demonstrates. That is his independent wealth. Now, I say about certain people, in fact, I say about all people, that they're independently wealthy. I say about all people that they are fulfilled in every possible way. I say about all people that they are magnificent, that they are fantastic, that they are glorious. I say about all people that they are good and very good. And some people say back to me, you don't know what these people are really like. And I say to them, you don't know what they're really like. You look at the appearances and you judge. And if you could look at the appearances and not judge, you might be able to uncover who they really are. Because who these people really are is there, right underneath that outer exterior of feeling unhappy for themselves or limited in some way. And when you look beyond that, when you reach into the heart and soul and being of everyone you create in your world, as I create in my world, they're all good and very good. I have not found a person in my entire lifetime, with all the experiences I've had, I have not found one person that I did not respect and admire because they were a reflection of me. I did not find one person who was limited, who was sick, who was poor, who had problems in any way because they were a reflection of me and they were buoyant and happy and joyous. They were magnificent and are magnificent, are buoyant and are joyous and are happy and live eternally. Yes, live eternally. I'm independently wealthy. I'm independently wealthy. I'm independently wealthy. As you say this, you build up a resistance inside of you to being independently wealthy. You build up a resistance because it says, it ain't so, it ain't so, it ain't so. Well, if you would sing, I'm independently wealthy, and sing it to not the one song, but say it to many songs, and put it in your heart and in your soul and in your being, just create the song out of songs that you know or songs that you create yourself, and sing it and sing it, and your mind does not object to that. Your brain is not saying you are saying something untrue, because it just says, oh, these are songs you sing, and you sing silly songs and true songs and operatic songs and so forth, and that's not what you really mean. In fact, there's a lot of people singing opera and singing it in the foreign language and not understanding what the opera is all about, not realizing what the words really mean. Well, this is what our mind does. When we sing, our mind doesn't know what the words really mean, and so it doesn't object. And as we say these things again and again and again and again, 100 million times, this is all our mind then knows. This is all our thinking then knows. And then every thought we have empowers this new concept of us, this concept of our wholeness and our abundance and our right action, our peace and our truth. I tell you, it's so wonderful to see people being born into these experiences. And I have so many of my students, they say, I'd like to meet somebody who's really practiced that and put it in motion. And I said, there's no way you can meet them because you're not on their level. You could be talking to them right now and your associates here, and you wouldn't recognize them because you see them expressing whatever they're expressing or appearing to express, and you don't see them expressing the divine. You don't see them expressing their abundance. You don't see them expressing the truth about themselves. You only see the outer picture. And how silly that is. How utterly silly that is. But this is how we've been trained, and as we continue to train ourselves, we train ourselves to live in this limitation. We train ourselves to live in this attitude, and so it is. Now, it's time for us to begin to train ourselves in a new attitude, a new direction, a new program for living. And the program starts, I like me. I am divine order. I am peace. As we say, I like me, we endorse whatever it is that we speak for ourselves. We empower it. As we say, I am divine order, we say what it is that we're speaking our words for are in perfect harmony with divine order. What we are speaking our words for are acceptable in the mind of the universal. What we speak our words for are not contrary to all truth. And then, after we get done being so excited, then we say, I am peace. And we let go and let it reveal itself. We get our bloated nothingness out of the way of the divine circuits, so the divine circuits can reveal it to us. And the divine circuits are just a matter of your new image of yourself, the new attitude of yourself. And that's wonderful. Now, we cannot have amnesia, all of us. We cannot have amnesia where we forget the past and forget anything that ever was before. But we can work on living in the now, living in the present, and seeing ourselves in the present, making these affirmations, making these assertions for ourselves, and making them again and again and again and again, and making them so that that becomes our nature. You'll notice that people in life who are happy, content, and fulfilled are people who live their ideal nature. They don't have to fight it. They have told themselves some point along the way that they were gentle people, they were loving people, they were caring people, they were abundant people, they were healthy people, they were all the lovely things that we could ever think about. And then they believed it. And they believed it, and they believed it, and they believed it, and they experienced it. Oh, there were times that they fell down when they had compassion or caring for someone who seemingly had a problem and wanted to bring it to them. And they took it upon themselves to think that's their responsibility. But their responsibility is to look past all illusions and see the truth. Look past all appearances and see the truth. Look past all that is contrary to the reality of God expressing itself as man, in man, through man. And wow, is that great. You know, Jesus said the words, be ye therefore perfect, even as is your Father which art in heaven. And he told us that heaven is within us. So, in any definition we want to give God, as Jesus said, we are to be that way. We are to be that way. Be perfect. And it takes a little bit of work. We didn't learn the mathematics table overnight. It took a little study. Now, learning to like yourself and to be yourself doesn't have to take study. It can be one OIC moment. It can be one illumination moment, one moment of bliss. And we never go back to the old self and how lovely that is. But we have to put ourselves in line with the divine circuits. We have to put ourselves in line with what we believe about ourselves. And we put ourselves in line with what we believe about ourselves by having our every thought be positive, dynamic, forceful, determined, listing who and what we are, revealing who and what we are, saying who and what we are, knowing who and what we are, being in all moments, in all times, in all ways, absolutely fantastic. Is this something that you'd like to experience? If it's something you'd like to experience, it's the easiest thing in the world. It's just a matter of determination, diligence, dedication, all these lovely things. Can you do that? And of course, all that comes out of being disciplined. And if you have not learned to discipline yourself, then you go to a school and have them help you learn to discipline yourself. Because every discipline that we have or learn or are trained in is not a discipline for somebody else. It's a discipline for ourselves. We discipline, and that doesn't mean we spank. We discipline little children in how to use the toilet. We discipline little children in how to brush their teeth. We discipline little children in how to chew their food. And we say 20 times for every mouthful. Now, are we a good role model for that? And you see, if we are a good role model for what we teach to others, then what we are doing is we are chewing our food 20 times for each mouthful. And we are doing the things that we think are important for someone else. Now, if we think it's important for someone else, perhaps it's important for us too. Perhaps it's something that we want to really apply in our life. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if everyone were independently wealthy? Well, I'll tell you a secret. Everyone is independently wealthy. It's just that everyone has not acknowledged that about themselves yet because they feel they haven't demonstrated on the outer. Just go through any story in history, and the wealthy people are not the people who sat back and wished that they could find a mentor, wished they could find someone who would give them their wealth, give them whatever it is that they went after. They weren't interested in that at all. They were only interested in one thing. They were interested in being themselves and having fun. They were interested in following the pattern of life that excited them. They were interested in delighting in every moment of life as though it were the greatest treasure, and truly it is, the greatest treasure that they could ever experience. And that treasure might be diving off a diving board and coming down from quite a height into the water. And of course, the more you dive, the less that height seems. Just like we live in the country. We live 70 miles from San Diego. And at first, it seemed like a long, long drive. But as time went on, the drive got shorter and shorter and shorter because we applied our mind not so much to thinking how far away it was and how long the drive was, but to the fact that it was a very fine time to meditate, a fine time to think positive thoughts, a fine time to sing and to dance in our heart with all the joy and all the magic that we are. It was a fine time for this and a fine time to express who and what we are. Now, a lot of people come to me and they say, "Oh, Dr. Bradley, teach me about abundance. Teach me about this. Teach me how to live with the attitude that you have, the attitude that you have which says all is in divine order, all is perfect, all is beautiful, all is good. Teach me that." And I say, I'd be happy to. I'd be very happy to. But you have to do all the work yourself. I can't just take a pill of "I like me" and give it to you. You have to put that into your own consciousness. You have to say to yourself, "I like me, I like me, I like me." Now, how often during the day do you say, "I like me"? How often do you say during the day, "I am divine order"? How often during the day do you say, "All is peace, I am peace, I am peace"? How often during the day do you say, "I am peace"? How often when you have something that's stretching your credulity, stretching your imagination, stretching your experience to the limits, do you just stop, take a deep breath, and all out and say, "I am peace"? How often do you do that? Because you know, that's what it's all about. When you can stop and take a breath and say, I am peace. All of the tension, all of the anxiety, all of the problematic of the situation fades away into nothingness. And the only thing that remains is the feeling of balance, the feeling of order, the feeling of peace, the feeling of contentment. You see, the great masters of the world are not always outwardly expressing their abundance. The teacher of Swami Rama, as an illustration, Swami Rama was ready to go to college, and so the teacher was ready to send him. And he said to Swami Rama, okay, you're ready to go to college now. You go in the back of the cave, and you take out a bundle of jewels, and take these jewels and go to college. Pay for your tuition, do all the things that have to be done. So Swami Rama took those things, and he did that. He never knew that his master was so wealthy. He never knew that there was so much good there and so much wealth there. He had no idea that that was the case. And in having no idea that was the case, it was abundantly experiencing and expressing in his life. And he was as happy as could be. He was fulfilled. He was revealed. He did what he wanted to do. And he was just so pleased with himself and the world. And of course, what's the first thing he did? First thing he did, because he was not accustomed to handling money and not accustomed to being independently wealthy, he just splurged. And of course, the splurging is fine. And in the splurging, he did good stuff. He bought cars, and he bought clothes, and he bought helpers in his apartments, and he did all these great things. And was it a bad thing? Not in the slightest. Was it wasteful? Not in the slightest. The jewels just sat in the back of the cave, unused, waiting to have someone say, I will use it, and then use it. Waiting for someone to come along who was ready to appreciate it. And so the master teacher, the guru, gave him these things to use without any restrictions, without any statement. Now, spend wisely, do this carefully. No, there was no spend wisely. There was no do this carefully. There was no attitude that there was a limit to that. Because Swami Rama, he looked in the back of the cave, and there were piles of jewels given to his guru by appreciative people who had come to him for treatment, for love, for understanding, for compassion, for healing and wholeness and what have you. And you see, they gave him, one at a time, a jewel here, a jewel there, a great treasure here, a great treasure there. And he had no need for it, because he had all the things he needed. He lived in just a loincloth. He lived on a grain of rice a day. He lived in his absolute peace and harmony. His students took a blanket and covered themselves, and he lay there naked in the evening and slept perfectly sound, wrapped in his own warmth, in his own presence. You see, what did he need? What did he want? All he wanted to live for was to share with those who came to him as students the teachings that he understood, the wisdom that he had, the magnificence of his personal being. And he never thought of himself as a magnificent personal being. His body was slim, his wardrobe was very small, but he always was happy, he always was fulfilled, and all the students he spoke to were fulfilled. All the students he spoke to received his absolute one-pointed attention, and he was in bliss, because this was his choice. This was what he chose to do in this lifetime. And he had no need for anything, and yet he had everything. He did not go out and apply himself anywhere, yet everywhere he was regarded as a great man. Everywhere he was regarded as a senior master in the hierarchy of masters there in India. Now, you say, that's not your desire. Your desire is to have a very nice wardrobe, have cars and house and swimming pool and all the good things that go along with independent wealth. Well, my friends, when you have independent wealth, You have all those things. Whatever thought you have in your mind, in your heart, in your thinking, that is what you have. And if you have in your mind, your heart, and your thinking the thought of independent wealth, and that independent wealth includes anything, you have it. You see, it's not a matter of searching for it. It's a matter of recognizing it's already within you. It's not a matter of going outside and looking around for this absolute abundance, but it's recognizing that that absolute abundance is you now, right now. That absolute abundance is in your world right now. But you can't have it. You can't have it until you claim it. You can't have it until you claim it with your words. You can't have it until you claim it with your thought. Thoughts are things. And that is what we choose to demonstrate, illustrate, and have in our life. Let's ponder these things and see where we stand, because it's really quite marvelous. I love you. I love you. I love you.